Sounds it.
Well, I'm absurdly nervous today, so I'm going to ask Johnny, will you open in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this assembly this morning in the house of God. I pray that you would settle Peter, give him the words to speak, give him liberty to preach those things that you've given him, God. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Well, we'll try to get through this. We're definitely not going to get through all the notes I wrote down last night at like 11 o'clock. There is a lot, and I didn't even write down all, because today, the subject matter we're going to be, or I'm going to be preaching on, we're not going to be doing it. Y'all start preaching, that'll be real weird for me, and I'll be like, oh, God has a message for me from the crowd. Nah. I really did want to talk about the light, and that being Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's one of the reasons I'm extremely nervous about preaching this, because you're preaching Jesus Christ at that moment. I can preach those little life things, like what God tells you how to live and everything, but whole different matter when you're trying to preach Jesus Christ.
Sure.
Because you're trying to show people his glory, his light, his way. But let's just get started into it, I guess. Trying to think where I want to start. You know what? Let's go to John 1. John 1. We're going to start at verse 1. I usually start with the verse that put me onto something. This is, people wonder why I like to talk about the things of God so much. Most of the things God gives me to preach on are from talking to people about the things of God. They'll say something, I'll be like, oh, I've never even thought about that. Or just, they'll say something in another context and God will just click it in my mind with another verse. So this came from Stephen on Thursday night, talking to the men's group downstairs. You talked a little bit about the light there, but when he got to there, I just started thinking about those things because Timothy had talked about that. And some of those verses are in there, Timothy, about the light of the eye and everything. And I was looking into that just a little bit. I am nowhere near a subject matter expert on this at all. There's so much of this that last night I was looking at verses going, God, I don't understand that right now. I don't understand what you're trying to get across there. So this is just the wave tops. You can get glory from the wave tops. So we're going to just read down through here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we all know that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So right there, starting with the light. It's the first mention it here in John. It's not the first mention of it in the Bible, but it's the first mention of it in John. It says, the life was the light of men.
Amen.
So their life. Those things of their life. We'll get into that a little bit later when I start talking about those things of the eyes and what Jesus Christ went through. We'll get to see a little bit about that. We'll also get to see when God takes that light away from men, if I get to Revelations at all. Which when I read that last night, I cried a little bit thinking about all those people that'd be left behind without that light. As he pulls that light from them. Where was I? Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I said this on Thursday, that it did not comprehend it. People who are lost can't comprehend that light. Mm-hmm. It's inside of them. It lighteth all men. Right. But they can't comprehend it. There's many verses in the Bible that back that up, that they turn that light into darkness. They think it's, oh, this is awful. It's miserable. It's the devil. It's because they're not comprehending it. Then there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. It says, came to bear witness of the light. That light right there, it's different than the other, the light. We all know what the does. It emphasizing a thing, emphasizing a noun and everything. So the others are the characteristics of Jesus Christ, the light. But right here, it's a capital L. Why is it a capital L? Because it's a pronoun. I'm assuming all of us know what a pronoun is. Maybe not Noah. Noah might not understand yet, but I don't know how Charity's teaching. Maybe he knows what a pronoun is. If he does, good job, Charity. But it's a proper name. It's a specific person. So who's the light? Who did John come to bear witness of? And I told the men in the group, a men's group the other night, that's Jesus Christ. And when did he bear witness of him? When he baptized him. He bore witness of the Father looking down and speaking to him and saying, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. You know who else got to bear witness of Jesus Christ later on in life? Let's go to, I just wrote this first time. This is over there, I'm frantically scribbling notes from one side of the page to the other. This was the last one I scribbled down. Let's go to Acts 22:9. This is Saul, also known as Paul. So in this one, Paul's, I believe, traveling to Damascus, correct? I believe that's the one. I forget the names of the cities they go to. I should probably learn it, but God hasn't prompted me to do that yet. So you know what? You guys can tell me. But he's traveling, and a great light shone upon him, and he went blind, right? And it says right here in verse 9, and they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. So Paul hears a voice. He sees a great light to the point where it blinds him. And those around him can see it. We can see it, that light shining. Occasionally you'll see one. God shows up greatly in a service. Someone's preaching, and you'll see sinners convicted. And then you'll see other sinners looking around, lost folk looking around going, I don't understand what's happening here. They see something's going on. They even fear. But they don't hear the voice of Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. Paul said that right there. He bore witness of that light. Let's go to Isaiah 9. If I lose you at any point, you can ask me for my notes and they'll make you even more like lost and not understanding. They are notes that I barely can read, so I don't have any hope for anyone else if they attempt to read them. Right here, yes. Isaiah 9, start at verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
Amen. Thank God.
Timmy, when I said last night, I was reading through it almost midnight, praising God over some of the stuff. This was the chapter I'm talking about.
Amen.
I'm going to go on a little bit further. But it talks about that great light. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Why did I read all that? Just to prove who that great light is. Because in verse 2, it said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And then it goes to say who that great light is. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you see a great light in your life?
Amen.
I do. I did last night when I was reading this. I didn't even expect. I had no idea where I was going to go with this last night. I just knew God wanted me to preach on the light. Because when you read through just the light, you look up the and light. There's so many different applications of it in the Bible. You could look up the light of his countenance, which we may talk about today a little bit. Or not. I don't know how God's going to lead this service. I'm just letting him go, and he's dragging me along, and I'm screaming most of the way. Let's look at Let's go to Micah chapter 7. Y'all are going to get there before me because it's in the minor prophets. And I struggle when I get to the minor prophets. Thank you. Thank you. Normally what I do is I will take one of my bookmarkers and put it in the chapters I have trouble finding, but I didn't do that today, so y'all get to watch me flip frantically through the Bible. Ah, got there. Who did I beat? Yes. So Micah 7. We're going to go to verse 10. Oh, I lied. We're going to start at verse 7. Micah 7, verse 7. We're going to go to verse 10 from 7. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her, and now she shall be trodden down as the mire of the streets. I believe that's Jesus Christ when he's in hell. So what's one of the things they said to him on the cross? Where's thy God? But what was he looking for? In a time where he was going through things that we can't even imagine, what was he looking for? It says right here, verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. He was looking for the light. He's waiting for that. But many of us, when we think about ourselves in a dark place, I say that because I don't think you can be in any darker place than hell. We don't look to the light. We don't. We don't look to God for those things, to lead us out of those things. As life gets a little hard, we think, God's abandoned me. Is that the faith Jesus Christ gave us?
No, sir.
Because when he was in hell, he had faith that God was going to come back.
Right, amen.
Why don't we take that faith and use it? Because he gives it to all men. He does. I don't say this to like, I'm better than everyone. I'm in the same boat as everybody. Pastor had preached on Thursday about God showing up in people's messages, and then God getting chastising him afterwards, and it put the fear of God in me that night. I was like, well, I might get chastised after Sunday. So if you guys see me getting chastised, you know what happened. You can blame the pastor. So Since we're on this subject matter of us following that light, trusting in that light, believing that light, let's go to Matthew 5. We're all over the place because my notes are all over the place and I'm not even following those, so. Matthew 5, 14. Turned one page too far. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth it light unto all that are in the house. It's like a city. The light's like a city on a hill. You can't hide the light. If you're a born-again Christian, you can't hide the light.
Amen.
It will come out.
Amen.
Has anyone ever seen the light in you?
Right. It's good.
What it comes down to, have they seen? You can't. It says it's as a city on a hill. If you look at a hill, and it's a walled city, so it's very obvious. You look at a hill and you, it's not like you're like, I don't know if there's a city up there. No, you see it. Because it's a city on a hill. It's above everything else, in view. And yet, we try to hide it. One, I'll say this, probably get some people mad at me. I don't care, people are always mad at me for some reason. So why not be mad at me for right things for once?
Right. That makes you an important person.
Thank you, but I don't know if that's true. Important.
I have a flag in my house that says I'm a very important person because everything that goes wrong is my fault.
Can I borrow that? No, but why do we try to convince people there's a light there if we don't see one? That is one thing to fall into. I don't ever try to say whether someone has that light or not in them. But there are fruits of it.
Right.
You know what? We probably will go into the countenance because you can see someone's countenance. Timmy, I don't know if you preached this or if it was just us talking about it. The countenance is something people wear on their face.
Right.
One of my favorite examples is during Sam and Charity's wedding, I got to walk down the aisle there with Mrs. Skolton. You know how I could tell she was happy? It was on her face.
Right.
It really was. And you know what? When people are miserable, it's on their face.
Right.
When people are walking in the Spirit, it's on their face.
Amen.
So with that, I don't know what these verses have in them, but I know I wrote them off. I'll prove it. This little tiny corner right here, you see this blurb? That's all the light of his countenance. I didn't put it in with the rest of my notes. I gave you guys a glimpse of all my notes. It's scary for you, but that's not even the other side of the page. So let's go to Psalm 4. Psalm 4, 6. Well, let's start at 5, I guess. I'll go back one more. Offer, thank you, Randy. Context, Randy said. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord.
Amen.
So what are the sacrifices of righteousness? Those things God gives you, because what is our righteousness? Filthy rags. And I don't think God wants you to offer him filthy rags. He takes them because it's sin. But it's not something that he wants. Let's go to, I said verse 6 there. Yes, I lost my place on the page there. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. They ask, who will show us any good? And then it answers that, and it tells how he does it. Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. He just looks upon us, and that's his goodness. Because he is that light. I think about Moses, when he goes up into the mount, comes into contact with God. So what does he have to do? He has to come out of the mount. They have to cover his face because it shone so brightly.
Would God be like that?
Amen. I was about to say that. Thank you. Come on, you come up. No, I'm just kidding. No, but truly, that is.
Amen.
Why can't we be like that, where people look at us and are uncomfortable because they see God on our face? To the point where they want us to cover up our face. Me, people want me to cover up my face normally.
Amen.
But because God.
Right.
Genetics. But Timmy actually talked about it. I actually didn't write this verse down, but God gives a beautiful countenance.
Right.
You see someone rejoicing, I don't care what they look like.
Right.
You see someone rejoicing, it's hard not to rejoice with them.
That's right.
It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
If Randy got up and started rejoicing, I'd rejoice. And I mean, that'd be rough looking at him. But I could rejoice.
I'm already a rough
sight. I'm kidding, Randy. I love you.
You're kidding about that.
Let's go to Psalm 44:3. Like I say, I don't know what these is. I just know they mention the light of his countenance. So we're learning together right now. Or I forgot, you're not supposed to tell people. I know this stuff. I'm going to pass this knowledge along to you. Then everything God shows me while I'm standing up here, I'll pretend I knew beforehand.
Yes, yes.
That's what we're supposed to do. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but the right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. So how did he give it to them? Those lands and everything? It wasn't by the swords of their arms. It wasn't by their sword, their arms or anything. It wasn't in battle. It's because he looked upon them.
Amen.
And showed them favor.
Amen.
Is God looking upon you and showing you favor in your life?
Amen. Hallelujah.
There's times, yeah. Yeah, Timmy, he has shown you favor.
Yes, sir.
So what's the Bible say? Huh?
Could I ask you a question?
You can. I might not be able to answer.
The light of thy countenance.
Yes.
Explain that.
The light of thy countenance?
Everybody understand.
Trying to think of a way to do it without going to other scriptures at the moment to back it up. It says character. He looks, it shines brightly. It allows you to see those. It allows you to see yourself. We will get into that later. It allows you to see your sins, those things that God's given you. Yes. You know what? Thank you. That's a great jumping off point to the next portion.
Because when you think of it, as you show yourself, that is your countenance.
Yep.
Your character, your behavior. So if you come across strong in this verse, if you come across strong, they will back up.
Yes, that's the one thing about, Timmy mentioned, there's enemies of Israel that had a fierce countenance.
Mm-hmm.
Those terrifying countenance. You look at them and you're a fear.
Amen.
But we're going to jump into that now, where God shows you yourself. It's a good jumping off point. And I have 10 minutes to do it. And I kind of wanted to get there because it's a very important verse when it talks about, we'll go to John, not right now, I'm just letting you all know so you can be prepped and ready. John chapter 3 at one point. But let's go to Job 22. Pastor Vernon talked about this a little bit, where God stops. He can see someone sitting in a service comfortable, and he fears for that person because it's God not doing that work. But it's worse than that, because if his countenance shows you yourself, that means he's not even looking at you at that moment. So let's go to Job 22, verse 21. I'm not going to tell you guys where I'm going to end so you can sit there going, oh, when's he going to stop? Believe I have this written. Yes. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shalt lift up thy face unto God. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. So right there, you pray to God. You look up to God. You're praying to him. He looks down upon you, and his light shall show you your ways. Say that. Now, let's go to Psalms 90 and 8. Someday, God might give me more on this light, which I believe so, as long as I obey him and study these things out. That's what it requires. 90. We're going to do Psalms 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. So what did he shine upon it? Our secret sins. Those things nobody else knows about. They're in the light of his countenance. And why do we hate that? Because we do. I can show you why. Let's go to John 3, verse 20. I didn't know this verse a few months back, but after I heard it, I kind of love this verse. Is it? Oh, no. Plug your ears, please. No, but... Ready? So, John 3, 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
He looks upon us, shows us that stuff, and we hate it.
That's right.
We hate being reproved, and we hate the light.
Yep.
So we hate those things of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Or we hate Jesus Christ. Could have thrown a real good ergo in there. Ergo, we hate Jesus. Could have been real sophisticated sounding. Then again, usually when I open my mouth, I do not sound sophisticated.
That's all of us.
Not you, Randy. You sound very sophisticated sometimes. Let's go to Luke 12. I do not flatter men with my lips. The Bible says not to do that, Randy. Luke 12. No, I'm in Luke 11. That makes sense. Luke 12 and verse 3. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Those are those secret little sins, those little whisperings you do, those things you say in private.
That's right.
And yet it's saying it's going to be proclaimed from the housetop. They're going to come to the light.
That's right.
And be proclaimed from the housetops.
That's right.
But you're like, no, I know many people who died with secret sins. And yet they went to the judgment seat.
Exactly.
And everything was proclaimed.
Exactly.
All their sins. Daniel 20. I didn't even get through half my notes. And I even write down, like, I wrote down maybe a third of the times the lights mentioned.
Did you say Daniel 1?
Yes. Did I already go there at 1?
Only 12.
12
chapters.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Daniel 2. I wrote down the verses, just not the chapter. So now you know the verse 20. Okay. Daniel 2, we're going to start at verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth that is in the dark." Did I read that right? I want to make sure I read it right. "He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him."
Amen.
So he knows what's in the darkness.
Yes, he does.
And you know, in Jesus there was no darkness at all.
Right.
Says that. But he knows what's in us.
Yep.
Because the light of him dwelleth in every man.
That's it.
And yet we comprehend it not.
Yep.
Because right. You can't. You refuse to. Randy, you refuse to comprehend it. You see the light working, but you refuse to comprehend it. You know what? Let's go to John 8:12. Taking a gamble here. I wrote it down and I literally just wrote the word walk above it. So let's figure out why I wrote that. John 8:12. John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
Amen.
It says, shall not walk in darkness. You walk in darkness. Jesus Christ says you shall not walk in darkness.
That's right.
So as a Christian, when everything's dark around you, I say this mocking myself more. I mock myself like this in private too, don't worry. I really do. God beats me up about these things quite often. But when we think it's so dark, it says we shall not walk in darkness, which means he's there. He'll guide you back. He'll guide you back to the way. I've preached on the way before. Because he shines a light on every man's way. As a lost person, you can see your sins. He'll show you your sins, your unbelief, your lack of repentance. For a saved person, there's verses in here to prove it. I just do not have the time to get to them. But he'll show you your iniquities, those things you do against God. As a saved person, you'll do those things. So the only reason I wanted to preach this today, so people may be able to see the light. It was wonderful last night, looking into these verses and seeing the light. Seeing Jesus Christ in places I never thought I'd see, because I never looked into the light before. The moment I started reading through, because I'd only had 1 John 1, and those ones down through there. Or not 1 John, John 1 and John chapter 3, verse 20. Those were the only times I ever saw it. And then I looked into it and I'm like, oh, there's Jesus Christ. Oh, there's Jesus Christ. Oh, that's what he's going to do. That's what he says he'll do. So just ask that you guys look these out, because I will show you. I'll show you my notes now, since we're going to end right when I do this. Those are all the notes, and that's like a third of the time the light is mentioned. So look into these things. Go find Jesus Christ in your Bible.
Right, exactly.
Don't just take me at my word. Take him at his word. I suppose I am done then.
Okay.
I don't know. Do we normally close in prayer?
Yes. Yeah.
Timothy, will you pray? You said yes first.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we got to hear. God, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the light. I thank you for how it can change people and it can give them a right heart with you, God, and they can love you and they can love church and you can change a countenance. And God, I thank you for that. I ask that you bless the remainder of this day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Next one's going to be something.